Hello, this is David Coulthard.
Hi, I'm Mark Webber here.
Great drive, Mark. Fantastic. We've won the constructors. Thank you. Well done.
Hi, this is Sebastian Vettel.
You're the world champion. You're the triple world champion, Sebastian Vettel. You are the man. You're a triple world champion.
Can I do donut?
Donuts will not be required, thank you.
Take that as a yes, then.
Hello and welcome to the Infinity Red Bull Racing Podcast. Race 2 of the 2013 campaign takes us the relatively short 6,365-kilometre flight northwest from Melbourne to Malaysia. On the southern tip of the country in the state of Selangor, Sepang is the venue for this weekend's Formula 1 action at the Sepang International Circuit. Malaysia offers a very different climate to Melbourne. It's exceptionally humid here. And as we saw over the course of the weekend, the heavens can open at a moment's notice, meaning we get some very interesting driving conditions indeed. Coming up on the podcast, we speak to both our drivers about their race weekend. We catch up with brand new BBC host Susie Perry, plus hear from all the podcast favourites. First, Katie spoke to team chiropractor Paul Chung to find out what it's like working with such an incredible heat here.
Paul, what are the conditions like for the guys that are working in the garage this weekend?
Well, when you've got an outside air temperature of about 33 to 35 degrees centigrade, you can imagine it could be even warmer inside the garage. Some of the guys, when they're wearing their full team kit, the race suits and the driving boots, doing a full race pit stop, it's very, very hot. The humidity is one of the biggest factors that tend to get a lot of people, as opposed to the dry heat that you get in Bahrain or Abu Dhabi. The sort of things that we do to prevent people from dehydrating is to ensure that they are drinking regularly, not just water. They've got to drink the hypertonic or isotonic drinks to keep them from effectively passing out. And we've had situations where people have actually keeled over, and one chap nearly went to heatstroke at one point. But funnily enough, that was actually in Valencia when it was a garage that was there was very little ventilation going through. We also advise them to take regular meals, because sweating requires calories, believe it or not, and if they cannot sweat effectively, they cannot cool their bodies effectively, and therefore they can get into a situation of passing out.
And does fitness help?
Yes, it does, because if you're a regular exerciser, you can in fact metabolize your energy more effectively, you sweat more effectively, and most importantly, you recover very quickly as well. After a full working day, the guys that go home, eat a meal, keep rehydrating, then they're ready for the next day. So fitness does play a huge role.
And can the heat actually affect how they work, or if they drink a lot of the right drinks and they stay fit, actually it doesn't affect them, or does it affect everybody?
It does make it a little bit harder, though, when you look at their performance, the timings of their pit stop practices, they're pretty much on cue. So I just think it makes it harder for them to concentrate, though it doesn't actually take the shine off what they do.
And we're obviously two races in now, and you work quite a lot with the drivers. How have they been so far this year?
Absolutely fine. No problems there. The fitness levels have always been maintained by their respective trainers, not only here at Red Bull, but also at Toro Rosso. So no concerns there.
On to the race now. It was a good result for the team, despite there being a bit of a bumpy ride here in Malaysia. The weekend started well, with Seb claiming his 38th pole position of his career. Mark qualified just behind him in fifth. Both drivers got off to a very good start off the line in the race and put in a solid performance, managing to bring their cars home in formation. It was an Infinity Red Bull Racing 1-2, with Seb finishing first and Mark second. Sadly, it's not quite the fairy tale ending to the Grand Prix we'd all hoped for. Webber led after the final pit stops. The team was keen to maintain the lead and get maximum points, especially due to all the issues we've had this weekend. But Seb had other ideas. It meant we still got a team 1-2, but positions were changed before the checkered flag, albeit with some nervous moments on the pit wall. Here is Sebastian's explanation.
I messed up. I mean, I would love to come up with a very nice excuse or a very nice story right now, but I can't, and that's the truth. I can completely understand Mark's frustration, and also the team being not happy with what I did today. I owe an explanation to him and to the whole team, but right now there's not much more I can say, so obviously I try to explain again later. We talk about this many times before the race, today, obviously, it very rarely happens. Today it did, and should have translated the call into action, and I didn't get the message, as in I got the message, I heard it, but obviously no action followed because I misunderstood. So in the past, if we had a situation where, you know, we were close to each other, we always used to fight. Obviously, with the circumstances these days, with the tires, etc., not knowing how long you can go, that was an extremely big risk to, you know, screw both of our races, as in to not finishing 1-2, ignoring the order for a second, and finishing 8th and 9th, you know, with destroying the tires in that 2-3 laps, fighting each other, which we know is not doing well or is not great for the tires. So, but I put myself above that decision today. I didn't mean to. I can only, you know, say sorry, apologize. I know it might sound very dull now to Mark and to the team, but as I said, I did a mistake. If I could undo it, I would, but I can't. So it's not a great feeling right now, and surely tonight's not going to be easy to fall asleep, but yeah, I think, as I said before, I need a proper, I owe a proper explanation and apology to Mark in particular and to team.
So, Mark followed Seb over the line in second place, scoring maximum points for the team here in Malaysia. Although happy with the achievement, he certainly felt he should have been on the top step of the podium. Here he is after the race.
I think Seb has respect for Mark Webber, yes. I think I have respect for Sebastian, but the situation was not handled well. It's very, very difficult to put your finger on it all right now. You know, when we're racing completely on the limit and pushing as hard as we can. And the team... It's the worst scenario for the team. They are completely bricking themselves, and they know that things can go very, very wrong. So there's so many scenarios to this, because it's obviously there's a little bit of history as well. So my mind in the last 15 laps was thinking about a lot of things, but actually overall I was quite happy with how I drove. If you try to isolate the what happened at the end, you know, we didn't really expect ourselves to be in the position that we were, to be honest. Long runs on Friday were not strong. In the end we got something from it, but for sure I'm not satisfied with the result, but that's the way it went.
The result here in Malaysia puts Vettel into the championship lead by 11 points from Raikkonen. Webber is 5 points further adrift and ahead of Hamilton, Massa and Alonso. Formula One can never be accused of being a boring sport. Someone who is finding this out firsthand is the brand new BBC host, Susie Perry. Katie caught up with her to see how she's finding her F1 baptism.
Okay, so I'm here with Susie Perry, who's the new glamorous presenter of Formula One.
Oh, don't about that.
So just how different is Formula One to MotoGP? Have you found it in the first two races?
Well, it's quite difficult. I'm just settling in, really. So I was expecting to come here and maybe it'd be a little bit more corporate than it is, but it's super friendly, like it was at MotoGP. The difference for me, of course, is that I walk into this paddock and I don't know anybody, so I've got to start all over again. But essentially, they're the same, really. You know, there's two more wheels, there's a lot more technology, and there's a lot more politics in Formula One, I must say.
Okay. But when you're walking down the pit lane, everyone's as friendly to you, are they?
Yeah, I think, you know, they know why we're here. We're here to make a good show. We're here to promote Formula One. It's an entertainment as well as a sport. So there's a lot of British people down here, which is also very helpful for me, because in MotoGP, it's very Italian and very Spanish.
And is it the same number of days you have to work? Is Formula One a longer event?
Well, there's more races to start with, so we have 19 rounds, of course. Yeah. But in terms of physical work, I think it's comparable. So it's a really, really full-on job, but it's a fabulous one.
And has there been anything that's been unexpected that you found that maybe you didn't think would be as it is?
Just things that happen during the race, you know, I guess. There's lots of headlines, and I think, you know, as a racing fan, it's always very exciting to have these stories. You don't just, you know, want to see a procession. You want to see the wheel-to-wheel action, and that was fantastic today. I mean, I had goosebumps, and it's really hot here, so it must have been very exciting. So, yeah, the story unfolds. Two rounds in, 17 to go.
And what's next for you now, before we go to China?
Oh, gosh. Well, I haven't even thought about it, actually. I will go back to... I've got a house in France, so I'll go back there for a few days. I'm back to the UK, where I'm covering all the technology for the Ideal Home Show, which is a kind of, you know, 180 to this. And then I'll get ready for China. I've still got some work to do. I'll probably spend about 3 or 4 days preparing before we go out there, and we'll fly out on Monday.
Now, every F1 team has to take a whole load of IT equipment around the world with them. The man responsible for ours is Olaf. Laura caught up with him after the race to find out how the heat affects what he does.
Okay, so I'm joined by Olaf. Olaf, if you could start by just reminding our listeners what it is that you do for the team.
I'm the IT engineer for the race team, so I look after all the IT kits and networks, etc.
And how does your role get affected by the heat, such as it's been in Malaysia?
Obviously, we have to keep all our servers cool, otherwise they could overheat, and that would obviously cause us issues. So, yeah, it does become quite demanding.
And how do you do things like keep the servers cool?
Well, air conditioning for the servers, and lots of drinks for us, and the odd ice cream.
We've been running the question on Twitter this weekend, asking our followers to tell us what their favourite rain race has been. Could you tell us what the one that stands out most for you has been from your career?
I think it was Europe 2007, where there was a massive downpour, and Mark ended up coming third. So that was my first podium in the race team, so it was quite memorable for me.
So quite a soaked race.
Yeah, pretty much, guys. People going off left, right and centre. But yeah, we managed to keep it on the track, and yeah, it's quite a celebration afterwards.
It was an action-packed race in Sepang. We had a few challenges, but we did take home maximum points for the team, as well as breaking a few personal records with the pit crew. Final word goes to Christian Horner. Katie spoke to him after the race.
From a team principal's point of view, talk us through it.
Well, you've got a conflict of interest between what the team's objectives and what the driver's objectives are. Obviously, from a team point of view, 11 or 12 laps to go, both cars running in first and second with the final pit stop out of the way, you just want to shut the race down and with these sensitive tyres manage the race to the end. Obviously from a driver's perspective, those 8 points are vital to them, and Sebastian chose to ignore the team orders today, which, you know, is annoying and something that we've discussed, and obviously that's something he's apologised for. But it's when a driver's personal interest is suddenly becomes greater than the team's collective interest in the Constructors' Championship.
And how do you feel on the pit wall when you're watching them fighting like that for position?
In all honesty, you're absolutely bricking yourself, because as a team you can only lose, because for us it doesn't matter which way round they finish, and you know, we can only lose to our opponents, and with Mercedes not far behind, you know, the worst thing that can happen in that situation is you know, Istanbul all over again.
And what's got a bit missed with everything that's happened is the pit stops that our crew did today. Tell us about those.
The pit stop crew were blinding today. They did all their stops within 2.5 seconds, 8 pit stops in 2.5 seconds, and we recorded our fastest ever stop, I think, which actually was Sebastian's first stop, at a stationary time of 2.2 seconds. So whether that's a new record or not, I have no idea, but it's certainly a personal best for us. And again, in searing heat and really uncomfortable conditions, the guys were real soldiers today. They've done an unbelievable job.
And with the tyres today, it wasn't actually as bad as we thought it was going to be.
No, we were actually much better than we expected to be, and probably one of the better teams on the tyres. So that just shows you how much we understand about 2013 Pirellis. But the tyres behaved very well in the race, and we were able to execute sensible strategies.
Well, that's it for this edition of the Infinity Red Bull Racing podcast. We leave Malaysia with a solid result. The team scored a 1-2, taking maximum points for the Constructors' Championship and setting Mark and Seb up with a good start to the season. Make sure you check out the website. You can look at all the pictures from the paddock, get all the latest team news. You can download the Red Bull F1 Spy app. Plus, you can also set the Spy a challenge to do in the paddock. Get in touch with him on Twitter using the hashtag SpyChallenge. We'll be back in 3 weeks' time for the Chinese Grand Prix at the Shanghai International Circuit. Until then, from a very humid Malaysia, take care.